Well, good morning to you all. How many of you love the warm weather out there? For those who are joining us live, if you're not in Pennsylvania, you may not know what I'm talking about. 80 degrees for 2 days. Did you get a little spoiled? Yeah, a lot spoiled, right? Yeah. I was at our cabin this past weekend, for Friday and Saturday, and we were making firewood. You don't make firewood when it's 80 degrees outside. So it was a little warm, but we got our work done, and Pastor got home last night safely, and just a good time with brothers in Christ and some who aren't, and prayerfully will be if they continue to listen to the word of the Lord. And that's what we're here for, is to bring that word of the Lord. We're going to be starting a mini-series here. I'm going to be doing a mini-series. Brother David's going to be doing an individual teaching in the midst of it, kind of to break things up. And I'm grateful for that, because with Brother David teaching, it gives me a break where I get to relax and actually be taught and come under the word myself. We all need to come under the word. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we're going to be looking at where we've been and where God's taking us. During the season of Lent, we looked at the I Ams, okay? We know God is I Am, Yahweh, that's his name. And we also know that Jesus said seven times, seven different places in the book of John, I Am. And when we allow the I Am to touch our lives in a very personal way, he begins through that process of understanding, I am the life, I am, I am, I am. That there's a personal relationship here, and that personal relationship begins to transform us by the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that transformed life then leads to how we are to respond as the body of Christ to one another. So wouldn't it be logical then to look at the one another's of the scripture and determine how we are supposed to respond to one another and where that leads? So that's what we're going to be doing. And I took the time and, how many of you like to cheat at life? I love to cheat at life, okay? I was always taught, work smarter, not harder, okay? So if somebody's already done the work, I can give them credit and use it, right? Well, somebody did the work and put together all the one-anothers in the New Testament. And there is 100 of them, okay? 47 of them deal with how the church is supposed to respond to one another, all right? Now, out of those 47, over one-third deal with unity. If more than a third, there's three main topics in it, and so if you look at those three, and more than one third, almost one half of the 47 deal with unity. How important do you think unity is to one another? Okay, so I want us. You were given an insert in your bulletin this morning, and I need to find mine because that's what we're going to be looking at here as we start. Because I think it's really kind of neat. As I looked at these and I started putting them down, you know, copying them off of the information, the research that I had done, and putting them in order from the book of Matthew through the book of James, because that's where they run, it just struck me as I was reading them and I said, oh my gracious, God has put these together through the books, the way they're assembled in our Bible, as a chiastic structure. Now, most of us don't understand literature in such a way, but the Bible is considered one of the greatest pieces of literary work in the world. In fact, there is no other book in the world that has any better literary structure than the Bible. Okay? So when we look at the Bible, God uses it to teach us stuff. So what's a chiastic structure? Well, chiastic structure starts at this point, leads you up, and then brings you back down. But not only does it lead you up and then bring you back down, as you are climbing The first and the last coincide. The next two coincide. The next two, the next two, the next two. All the way to a pinnacle, okay? So I want you to look at this structure. For point A, this is where it begins. It says, have salt in yourselves. And this is Mark 9 and 50. It says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Then we drop to the bottom of the list because we have to look at the next A. Do they really correspond? Do not complain against one another. James 4, 11, 5 through 9. So as we begin to look at these, it says, be at peace with one another. Be filled with salt. What is salt? The word. Okay? We need to understand what's being talked about here. It's the Word of God. We need to be preserved in the Word of God. We need to be spiced with the Word of God. Okay? All the things that you all just said. All right? And then he says, do not complain against one another. Well, let's move up one more line. He says at the top, do not grumble amongst one another. John 6 and 43. And then at the bottom, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Don't they correspond? Okay, they speak to one another. Number two, be of the same mind with one another. Romans 12 and 6 and 15 and 5. And then dropping down, seek good for one another and do not repay evil for evil. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15. Then we go up to number three. Do not judge one another and do not put a stumbling block in a brother's way. Number three on the bottom. Encourage and build up one another. Wow. Do you see how this structure works? Do you see what God's doing here? Number four, accept one another. Number four at the bottom, bear and forgive one another. Woo! We're going to talk about some of these here in just a minute. Number five, do not bite, devour, and consume one another. Do not lie to one another. Okay? Number six, do not challenge or envy one another. Number six, be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to one another. Number seven, bear one another's burdens. Number seven, speak truth to one another. You know, that's kind of amazes me. If we're going to carry each other's burdens, don't placate people. Tell them the truth. Get them out of the stuff that they're in, right? We were talking about some of that here today, all right? We can tolerate, we can help, we can assist. That's true tolerance. Unto regeneration, all right? And then the very middle one, and this is, and it was just so amazing because this is why it just hit me when you were teaching, Brother Wendell. The very pinnacle of Christianity says what? Gently, patiently tolerate one another. And I'm not talking worldly tolerance where we just simply, whatever, and brush it away. To tolerate means to be with, to work with, and to bring to a place, okay? We need to understand these things in a very biblical, very real sense, because when we're talking about one another and how we are to react with one another, it just doesn't simply mean, well, you know, I really don't like you. I'm picking on Root because I know she can handle this because she knows I love her. I call her sis. You know, I really don't like you, but I'll be in your presence and I'll, yeah, oh, hi, how are you doing? And then get out of her way, right? I tolerated her. Didn't you see that? No, to tolerate means to be with them, to lead them, to guide them in all their failings. And I hate to say it, in all my failings, I asked you to tolerate me and to walk with me. Now, if you're tolerating somebody, does that mean I accept their sin, David?
No.
What?
Now, wait, I'm a sinner. You've got to accept me, so quit it. No, it doesn't.
Right. We tolerate the person. We don't tolerate the sin. Okay? That's where we get intolerant. Because if we tolerate the sin, it's easy then for us to fall into it. And we have been pulled out of it through the blood of Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So as we look at these different pieces of unity and just what they mean and where they take us and just how do we, you know, number four on each side, accept one another, bear and forgive one another. Okay? So if I accept you, I'm supposed to bear with and forgive you. Which means when you stumble, I am to simply put my thumb on your head and hold you there, right? No, I tolerate, to bear, to tolerate. I tolerate what you did in the hopes of bringing you to where you need to be, just as I hope you will tolerate where I am in the hopes of bringing me to where I need to be, okay? How many of us, you know, I can remember this growing up, you know, my mom would say something to me and I'd say, well, why do I have to do that? Because I'm your mother, okay? It's like, wait a minute, I see the things you do, okay? What gives you the authority to tell me what to do? And it's the same way in Christ. How many of you here are perfect? I'm not. But we are to bear one another. That means to lift up, okay? Lift each other up, forgive each other. But that doesn't mean accept what I've done. It means now you need to help me become even better. Okay? Because doesn't it say that? Didn't we just read one here where it says we're to stimulate one another to love and good deeds? Okay? You know, I think it's funny because we can give a word of cure or a word of hurt. What does number one at the top of the list say? Because I just read number one at the bottom. Do not grumble. Whoa. How many of us grumble against one another? That's some of the quickest stuff to come out of our mouth. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Fight that urge because now you're getting ready to sin. Okay? We need to turn it around and use that moment as a time of encouragement, as a time of lifting someone up and literally turning ourselves around. Because it's easy to get caught up in what our world does. Because, man, all you got to do is turn on the news, and it's just a tearing down, a tearing down, a tearing down, a tearing down. And then at the end of the news program, do you ever notice how they do that? At the very end of the news program, they put in a two-minute clip that says, oh, looky what's going good. Okay? 28 minutes of tear it down, tear it down, tear it down, tear it down, and 2 minutes of looky what's going good. And it's something stupid like, you know, they're having a dog dance or, you know, whatever, okay? It's nothing that's going to make a difference in our world. It's generally something so trivial or what I like to use the word cutesy, okay? Cutesy to the point of actual ignorance. But when you have people's lives being turned around, do you know it's illegal in California to talk to a homosexual about reorienting themselves from a guy to be a guy and a woman to be a woman? Do you know it's illegal to actually talk to them and say, you know, there's help for you that you know, you can literally abandon your homosexual tendencies and become a true man because that's the way God created you. That's the way God intended. It's illegal. It's illegal. So we can't even encourage. We can't even begin the process of unity in the world. We're being thwarted at every step. But in the church, the unity of the body is some of the greatest attribute of what we're supposed to be and how we're to work with one another. You know, it amazes me when I think about how many people out there in our lives, in our work, whatever we're doing, we get tore down. And I'm talking to the folks who are out here watching us on the internet too, because there's a reason some people stay home and don't go to church, because the church has hurt them. Amen? Amen. I've been hurt by the church. But one of the things I have to remember is the church is full of fallen people. If it wasn't, I couldn't be here. If the church was full of perfect people, as soon as you showed up, okay, as soon as I showed up, it couldn't be church. And you know, that's one of the things that I want folks to understand. We are to be people of great love, great understanding, great tolerance unto the renewing of our minds and our hearts. Because that's what the I Am does. The I Am, God, when we receive Him, transforms us through His love to become the body of Christ. And as the body, we have to accept each other. Now, I want you to think about this as an organ transplant. Okay? As an organ transplant. If a body is given a new liver, okay, they've taken somebody else's liver and they've done the biological match, okay, and they say, yes, this is a good match. There's a 90% chance that this will take. Believe me, they do rate them, okay? And we think that this will be a good work, that this will fit together. And they put that liver in you. Your body has to receive it or reject it, okay? And one of the things that we need to remember is the body of Christ is much like that. When people walk in that door, that's an organ transplant, okay? Because they're coming from out there for whatever reasons, and they want to become part of us. They're checking us out. Is it going to be a good fit? And one of the things that they're going to look at us and say is there unity in this place? Is there a sense of oneness in this place that I can come along with, that I can be part of, and be accepted into this congregation, to be accepted into the life of Christ here in this body? We are a body. And what happens if a body rejects that liver? Does anybody know? Y'all know what happens. Beg pardon? The liver actually starts to die because the body's rejecting it. It's sending all these antibodies at it, and it begins to try and get rid of it. Even though it needs it, it tries to get rid of it. And I want you to think about the body of Christ. Somebody comes in the door and all they hear is negative, 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 tear apart, tear apart, tear apart, tear apart. Are they going to stick around in that? No. They're going to flee. They're going to flee. Because they know that this isn't a good match and they're going to die here. And so they're going to leave. And we need to think of ourselves as this body that has to have all the organs working properly in order to work. Okay, now, does that mean that right now we are not complete? Yes, it does. Until Christ comes and calls us home, we are incomplete. When will we be complete? When we are with Him and all the churches together. Then we will be complete. Okay, right now we're incomplete. We need some organ transplant. We've got some things missing because there are others that we need to bring into the fold, that we need to bring into the household of faith to actually help us do the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because I don't know about you, but I can't do it all. So I want us to think, when it comes to the one another's, where do they lead us? Why are they there? What's their importance? And for that, I want you to now turn into your word to the book of John, chapter 17. The book of John, chapter 17. And Miss Sally alluded to this just earlier because this is the scripture where Jesus speaks of the unity of the church. John 17. We're in verses 20 through 23. Jesus is praying here. This is the prayer of Christ. Okay? This is the prayer of Christ for us and for the disciples. And he says from verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. And Father, what's he talking about? Us. Okay, he's not only praying for the disciples, but he's praying for us. And this is what he's praying. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfect, may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. The unity of the body of Christ shows God to the world. That is the main purpose of the unity. And that's why when he speaks of the one another's and how we're to respond with one another, that's why that unity is so important, because the Trinity is three in perfect unity. And that's what God wants us to be, perfect unity. The day will come when we will be that, but we're to try and emulate that even here, even now, even in our fallen state. Because we are not only fallen, but we are forgiven. And in that forgiveness, in the cross of Calvary, is the power of God. How many of you, you just said it earlier today, Brother Wendell, they neither understood the scripture nor the power of God. And that's what we're talking about here. It's understanding the scripture and the power of God, that we can get past all our differences if we're willing to realize that we are fallen people. And gee, I may just have a fallen attitude. Ain't none of us here got one of them, right? My attitude is perfect righteousness. My desire is perfect righteousness, but I'll guarantee you my attitude is less than holy, probably more than half the time. And I'm the preacher. It's a struggle. And yeah, we're going to struggle. But the one thing we can't do is let it build poison from within. We've got to deal with it. You know, it's kind of like when you... as a matter of fact, if you look at my hands, I've got all kinds of splinters from doing wood, okay? Well, I was getting the splinters out, and now I've got all these red marks all over me, so I was cleaning them up and scrubbing them good and hard because I don't want to get any infections, right? Okay? And that's one of the things that we need to do in life. You know, if something's gone wrong, if a foreign thing has gotten in there, you know, what happens? Infection. And if we don't treat it well, what happens with infection, Marion? You can get pretty sick, and that's what happens to the body of Christ when we don't deal with it right away and put in the purifying love and grace of God, you know, to fix it, to get it right, which means we got to work it out, okay? I don't want you just saying, well, I'm going to put it before God. Praise God. Jesus, take care of them. Well, maybe he needs to take care of you. So we need to talk about it. We need to work it out. And boy, I'll tell you what, guys, isn't that something we love to do? We love to talk about it, don't we? The ladies are laughing. Because guys, that's not what the world has taught us, is it? We're men. We suck it up. I ain't got to deal with nothing. Really? How's that going for you? Because I'll guarantee you right now, Jesus did more talking than anything else. Okay? And his talk and his walk lined up. And we got to get our talk and our walk lined up. So if you've got problems with somebody, you need to go to them, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? We need to go to them because we need to work it out. We got to get this thing working so that we can be in that unity. We need to lift each other up. We need to get through the problems. We need to gently, patiently tolerate one another, because then we can speak truth to one another. Then we can be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another. We can bear with one another. We can encourage and build up one another. We can seek good for one another, and we can stimulate each other unto love. That's the whole bottom half of what we just learned of the one another's. I wrote this down, or I typed this up, because I want you to pin this on your refrigerator. And every day for the next year, I want you to pick one and say, that's the one I'm going to work on today. That's the one I'm going to work on today. And I'll guarantee you, you'll be taking some medicine for the next year. Okay? And I don't know about you, but I ain't never had good taste in medicine. Every time I take medicine, it tastes horrible. But it does good unto me. Amen? And we need to remember, we're the one who has to be changed. You can try to change everybody else. But until that person's willing to receive change from Christ for themselves, you're not going to be able to do anything. But you can point them in the direction and you don't stop. And you walk with them. You know, so many of us, you know, and I love it because I've watched it, I've seen it happen in the church, where a brother or sister will say to another brother or sister, well, you need to do this, and then turn around and walk away from them. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No. If you're going to tell them that, now you need to walk with them. Because that's true tolerance. That's true bearing with one another, okay? And that is going to change a life. Not only their life, but yours as well. Because you won't be so judgmental after that. You're going to be softened. You're going to be changed. You're going to walk in unity. And unity has a way of creating something beautiful. What does it create? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. I went right past it. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. Now I'm going to read this. And this is kind of funny because I'm not going to teach a whole lot on this because it's a teaching in itself. If you can't understand this, I don't know that the Spirit's in you. It says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. Again, this is Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is only one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every kind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Wow. Was that a mouthful? God here is telling each and every one of us that we need to mature to the point that we're not blown by every wind of doctrine, that we know the unity that comes through the Word, Okay? It's Brother Bobby uses this phrase all the time. And, well, I won't say all the time, but often. He says, we have to be as the Bereans of old. All right? We've got to check it out. Somebody tells you something and it doesn't sound just quite right, or, you know, you're not quite sure about that, check it out. Because if it lines up with the word, you need to change. But if it doesn't, now we need to come back and talk to our brother and move our brother in the direction of what the scripture says and the understanding therein. Because as we are built up, God is glorified. And as we are built up and God is glorified, the body of Christ reaches a wholeness and a fullness, a maturity unto Christ, that when people look at our church, when they look at us as a body of believers, they see a unity there that goes beyond ourselves. We speak about it. We sing it. Oh, my heavens, you know, we raise our hands and we praise God because, you know, we're one in the Spirit, right? Yeah, that's exactly right. I am one in the Spirit. I don't know what you are. No, we are one. And that's what we're going to be, but we're supposed to be working it out here and now. So, brothers and sisters, I implore you to look at these one another's and see where you need to work on that, not only in your Christian faith here at church, but in your life with other Christians around you, because even though they don't attend our church, if they are truly a Christian, they are a brother or sister because they are in the kingdom. Remember, we're the ones who, you know, again, I'm going to look at the body, all right? We think of ourselves as a complete body. Well, in and of ourselves, we are. But when we look at the body of Christ, we may be the kidney and the left one at that. Okay? You getting my point now?
Gallbladder.
So we need to think that we're part of something even bigger, and we have a place. And we have a unity with other brothers and sisters. We're part of the Evangelical Association of Reformed and Congregational Christian Churches. Why? Because they are the brothers and sisters that we know and love, because they believe what we believe, they hold to the things that we hold to. But are they the only church out there? No. Right now, Dan and Gloria are down at the Brethren Church. You know, it's called, what's the name of that church? Encounter. I thought you said Calvary. I got this singing in my ear, and you're on that side. Encounter Church, okay? Encounter Church. And I love their Pastor Terry down there. Oh, my gosh, awesome guy. Preaches the word in season and out of season. You know, there are brothers and sisters. There are others in the area that are our brothers and sisters because they preach the word, they believe the word, they walk in the word. But yet there are others. And we won't mention their names, that don't preach the word and call themselves Christian. And those are the ones we need to watch, because they will welcome you in. And they will hurt you because they don't really care what this says. What do you feel? What do you think? You know what? God never anywhere in here asks me what I think or feel. God tells me what I'm to think and what I'm to feel. We need to remember that. We're the one who needs to change to Him. And as we change to one another and start taking in one another to change to Him, we will become one in Christ. I challenge you this week. I challenge you with all my heart to look at these one another's. Next week, we're going to be, Brother David's actually going to be preaching next week, but the next time that I'm preaching in 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing the one another's on love, okay? And some of you are going to be shocked by some of the things it says in there about love, all right? And we're going to have to grow in those as well. Because love is not what our world thinks love is. Okay? Love is something H-O-L-Y, holy, and W-H-O-L-Y, holy, other than what our world thinks it to be. So I want you to think on this unity. Where is it in your life? Is there a place where you have broken unity, or a place where you have unity broken with a brother or sister and you need to work on it? And then we need to work on it. Because as we work on it, we will come together and be one, and health and wholeness will be our mantra. Jesus wants us to be one, just as he and the Father are one, and we are one in him. May we truly be one in Christ. Can I get an amen? God bless you. Thank you for watching today. I hope this message has touched your heart. In Christ, you are one with us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the love that you give us. We thank you for the hope and heart of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as we love one another, as we walk with one another, as we see each other, that we would truly begin to tie that bind, or become the tie that binds, that we would see that you in us means Christ, you're here, and I need to be Christ to my brothers and sisters, and they need to be Christ to me, that we can walk in that oneness and fullness that only you bring. Because otherwise, Lord, we're going to be walking in the ways of the world. So, Father, I pray against that, and I ask your blessing upon each and every person here, that we may truly be a unified body, one of mind, one of spirit, and one of accord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.